Today on The Journey.
Mutual submission applies in the sexual relationship. Yes. And depriving each other of sexual fulfillment for whatever reason, and sometimes there are reasons.
Right.
That's happening. It results in a heightened temptation.
What are the barriers to satisfying sex in marriage? Those roadblocks that can detour you or your partner into a disappointing affair. Well, that's Ron Moore's and men's minister Tunch Ilkin's focus on today's program. Listen and learn how to avoid the dead end of adultery. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourages its proper use. You can get yours at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. In our last broadcast, we looked at the first two warning signs of a potential affair. We pick up there after Ron introduces his guest host for part two of their discussion titled, A Man and His Temptations, Anatomy of an Affair, on The Journey.
It's my privilege to be joined by Tunch Ilkin in a special series of broadcasts focusing on the real issues for real men. Tunch is a 14-year veteran of the NFL, is a pastor of men's ministry at the Bible Chapel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and is a sought-after speaker for men around the country. And Tunch, we've been addressing several issues that face men. Today we want to address the temptation of adultery. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul writes this, "Now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each wife her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband." That's talking about sex.
Right.
"The wife's body does not belong to her, but also to her husband in the same way. The husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other," talking about sex.
Right.
"Do not deprive each other, except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and then come together again," talking about sex,
right,
"so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Husbands and wife have a biblical responsibility to fulfill each other sexually. Mutual submission applies in the sexual relationship.
Yes.
And depriving each other of sexual fulfillment for whatever reason, and sometimes there are reasons.
Right.
But when that's happening, it results in a heightened temptation. Someone has said, there's nothing more frustrating for a man. We could say the same thing for a woman.
Right.
Nothing more frustrating than to save yourself for your spouse in this area, and then not have your needs met in that area.
Yeah, it's really tough. And I think wives need to understand how important the physical intimacy is to a man. And we talk about what's important to a woman, and we need to romance our wives and communicate and do that as well.
Every woman's desire.
Right.
Written by Arterburn and Stoker. Just listen to some of the things they say. Men primarily give intimacy during foreplay and receive intimacy during intercourse. That's the way God wired us. Mm-hmm. Women experience intimacy through touching, sharing, hugging, communicating. The writers say this, "Is it any wonder that the frequency of sex is less important to women than men? In fact, women often view sex as a vastly inferior form of interpersonal communication. They resent that we, men, always run to this form of communication. When we want to express love, we're automatically in the mood for intercourse. That's how we're made. When our wives want to express love, they want to sit and share their feelings."
Right.
Again, neither is wrong.
No.
It's the way God has ordered, but we need to understand that in order to be fulfilled in this area of sexuality. Men's sexual ignitions are wired to visual stimulation. Again, it gets us into trouble with the lust thing we talked about last time, but that's the way God wired us. So that's a temptation we have to work at. Now, in the aspect of marriage, a great thing.
Right.
Women's sexual ignitions are wired to touch in relationship. Arterburn and Stoker say men have a biological need for regular sexual release every 48 to 72 hours. Now, when I teach that in the marriage enrichment class,
right,
the guys say, This is worth the money, right?
That's right. Thank you for sharing that. Can you preach on it on Sunday, brother?
We don't have to come to another class. Yeah. We got everything we need right there. But again, that's the way men have been wired. Women's sexual desire is tied to relationship and oneness, and men have to realize that. Right. And so when a man, they say, you know, my wife is wired for touch and relationship, and they go touch for the purpose of sex. Our wives know that.
Yeah.
Arterburn and Stoker, Every Woman's Desire, still quoting from them, 84% of women feel they don't have intimacy or oneness in their marriage. 84%.
We're not doing a good job. Yeah.
83% of women feel their husbands don't even know the basic needs for intimacy or how to provide intimacy for them. And again, we've got to be a student of our wives. Yeah. And wives, got to be a student of your husband. Now, let's just talk a little bit about the sexual release for men, the relationship for women and the emotional part of that. We often see, Tunch, that sex didn't happen, but we don't peel that back to see why. As men, we focus on the lack of event rather than why. Barriers to satisfying sexual relationship. A habit of criticism. If a guy is continually tearing down his wife, she's not going to want to be intimate with him.
A woman needs to know that she's desirable. She needs to know that we delight in her. They need to know that they're cherished and thought of. We don't do a good job of communicating. We don't do a good job of speaking love to our wives. The words of affirmation, the words of love, and the words that keep reminding our spouses, our wives, that we would marry them all over again, that they are beautiful, that they are desirable, that they are wonderful, that we thank God for them. I always tell guys, we need to pray out loud for our spouses. They need to hear how we thank God for them. And I think guys stop doing that sometimes. And I think it is important that we continue to woo them. For whatever reason, life gets in the way and we allow ourselves to get in this trap of not following through the way we need to. And so not only the harsh words, but the words of affirmation, they constantly have to hear them.
We said that a man doesn't want a Proverbs 31 woman, he wants a Song of Solomon. A woman wants a Song of Solomon man.
Right.
When you read through the Song of Solomon, over and over, how lovely you are, how beautiful you are, you know, I desire you more than anything else, over and over and over again. And we wonder why she responded to him so well, because he truly demonstrated his love for her, his respect for her, the fact that he desired her more than anything else.
I think you need to preach on Solomon.
I have.
I know.
Where were you?
I was sleeping in that day.
Barriers to satisfying sexual relationship. Anxiety due to the fear of performance or acceptance. And again, we got the world out there telling us that the world is like a sexual banquet. You look at a movie and everything happens just perfectly. Real life doesn't happen perfect.
No, life is not like that. And as husbands, we need to understand our spouses. Guys can compartmentalize. There could be all sorts of anxiety in our lives and our families. Doesn't matter. I'm not even thinking about that. Right now, I'm focusing on you. Right. But our spouses are not like that. When there's something going on, there's worry about illness of a parent or maybe even a prodigal child, it's very, very tough for a wife to now turn their attention and focus completely on you.
Another barrier is guilt related to home or church. We have got to teach our children that sex is God's idea. Mm-hmm. It's His design. It's to be in the heart of the marriage relationship between a man and a woman. But we can't put guilt on our children to just say no to sex. That doesn't get it. It's why do we need to wait? Here's why. Here's what God says about this beautiful gift that God's given.
Yeah, you know, God's rules are really to protect us. They're not to keep us from something that is desirable, that's protective, not prohibitive. And I think we need to understand that there is this beauty that comes with waiting. And it's a very, very special thing. And when couples are sexually active before marriage, they rob themselves. Number one, they're not in God's will. Number two, they rob themselves the specialness of the wedding night.
Yeah. Barriers to satisfying sexual relationship. And again, we're talking about this in a warning sign regarding an affair. You need to keep the fires going at home. Criticism, anxiety, guilt, anger and resentment arises when one or both partners feel used.
Right.
And again, if a guy is being harsh with his wife, if he doesn't recognize her existence, and then all of a sudden he wants to go to bed, she's going to feel used.
Right.
And guys can feel the same way.
Right.
Communication, critical in the entire relationship, predictable mechanical sex, a lack of sensitivity, a lack of sensuality, absence of non-sexual physical touching, a lack or loss of trust. And again, we're going to talk about how to recover from an affair, but man, the trust that is lost there. By God's grace, can be restored, but it takes time. And then anxiety about one's physical appearance. Again, we live in a world that's just so focused on physical appearance, and there can be an anxiety with that. So we need to work hard in that communication, that conflict resolution. We need to develop this intimacy and oneness. We need to be growing spiritually. And we need to understand the ignitions that are different with a man and with a woman. One other thing about sex and marriage here, I had a professor say one time, and I've never forgotten this, and I've shared this in a lot of marriage enrichment classes and sermons too. He said, sometimes sex is like McDonald's. There's a need to eat. You go through McDonald's. There's nothing real special about it, but you know, you eat a Big Mac and you're filled up. Sometimes it's like a 4-star restaurant. It's a beautiful evening. You're overlooking the city, wherever you live. You get ready for it all day and you just enjoy it. So his point was, sometimes it's beautifully common. Sometimes it's chandelier swinging, exciting. But it needs to happen in a regular way in the protection of marriage. If not, never right to have an affair. No. Never an excuse, but the temptations come.
And I think that's something that we have to understand about one another and to pursue in the way we know that our spouse needs to be pursued.
So here's another warning sign, quote unquote, innocent, intimate conversation. So here you are, you're a married man, married woman, you're going through a dry time spiritually, maybe a dry time in your relationship, and you meet someone at work, school, whatever situation you're in, and you begin this conversation, and all of a sudden you find yourself talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about right. with someone not your wife.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen it in guys that have had affairs, and because guys are wired to be, I call it the dragon slayer. So you're in a work situation, and you've got this innocent, intimate conversation. And the way I've seen men fall into this, a fellow employee that is a woman and maybe attractive says something to the male fellow worker and says, you know what, I'm struggling with this and my husband doesn't understand me, or I'm struggling with that. Well, there's something in guys that if they get pulled into that conversation, well, let me help you with that. Or I am going to be that ear. And so now you may want to fix it, or it may be as innocent as she needs help in doing her job. And because you might be her superior, you know how to help her in that job. Well, now she sees you as her hero. And so there's all this affirmation and affection that comes with it. And it becomes intoxicating to a man. And so he gets pulled into this relationship and it starts out in an emotional friendship. But now this guy, all he's thinking about is this woman who's attractive and she's affirming him and she's telling him how desirable he is. And he's getting sucked in. She's looking at him. He's my hero. Now, if it doesn't go a step further than that, and it a lot of times does, you're stealing from your wife. Mm-hmm. You're stealing from your children. You have now become another woman's hero. And so now this intoxication, it's just like a drug. It causes the same kind of response in your body. Your feel-good chemicals, endorphins, dopamines, et cetera, start going off the charts, and you get sucked into this affair. And talking to a guy like that, all of a sudden you see it. Wait a second, I get this. You are the hero of another woman.
An innocent, intimate conversation. Guys, if a woman comes to you and says, you know what, my husband doesn't understand me.
Run.
Sirens should start going off.
It's kind of like Lost in Space. Warning, Will Robinson, warning. Now, probably people don't know that analogy. They're too young. But you cannot enter in that kind of relationship with a woman. You can't get into the, my husband is this, he doesn't understand me. Oh, if I was your, run.
Get out of there as fast as you can. Warning sign 5 is emotional connection. Again, we're looking at anatomy of an affair. You got a spiritual dryness with God. You got some disconnected stuff at home. So you're not taking care of some stuff.
Right.
So here's the deal. Needy people enter into an affair. You've not taken care of your walk with the Lord. Any of us can do that. So we're not saying anybody's above this. You didn't take care of your walk with the Lord. You're not taking care of your marriage relationship. You enter into this quote-unquote innocent, intimate conversation. And now all of a sudden, there's an emotional connection. Men are going to look for the physical eventually, but we got an emotional switch too. So now we got this emotional connection going on. And not only is this going on in the traditional ways, as men and women meet at various places, but emails, texts, social networking.
Oh, it's crazy. Don't text, don't email. What ends up happening is the guy is getting all this admiration from this other woman, and there's this fantasy thing that starts happening in their head, and the feel-good part of that becomes intoxicating. And now you've entered into this social media relationship and you're in deep weeds. That is a terrible place to be. You don't need to be sending emails. And here's the thing, it is fantasy. There is this thought that this is somehow better. Are you kidding me? It's death in the end. It is as bitter as gall. And the proverb also says, can a man scoop hot coals into his lap and not be burned? Can he walk and not be singed? It ends in death. Like the bird into a snare and the deer getting pierced in the liver with an arrow. It leads to this place where you can't pull back.
You know, we talked about the religion of masculinity in a previous broadcast and how men cling on to that. And sometimes it's the conquering of another woman that really demonstrates your masculinity. What could be more unmasculine than being a fool with an adulterous chain around your neck being dragged down into an affair that's going to just wreak havoc on your family.
The oxen to the slaughter.
Like the ox to the slaughter. I talked to a guy just last week, and he started telling me a story. And he said, you know, I'm at work. Things are going great at work. Good job. And things weren't going so well at home. Disconnection. There was a woman there, and they started talking. And first it was just about work. And then it was a little more personal than that. And he said, Ron, I could feel this emotional connection. And I could feel the danger. And he quit his job because he knew himself enough. And I give him so much credit.
Oh, man, that's a way to be you. That is a way to be you.
He knew himself enough that if he stayed there, he was going to be the ox to the slaughter. He was going to fall into that affair. So guys got to realize that when you're in a warning sign here, you take some radical steps to get out of that.
How insightful and disciplined of that guy. When I was playing for the Steelers, we had a tackle named Pete Rostosky, and he used to always say, way to be you. And so we've adopted that for our men's ministry. Look, we get hammered for messing up as men. But when we do something that is to be celebrated, that guy needs to hear a way to be you, because that's really where the rubber meets the road. That is understanding how you're wired. That is understanding the dangers of adultery. That's understanding the woman that is in that environment with you and understanding yourself and knowing that it leads to death. So, man, that guy should be commended for that.
May his tribe increase. So we're looking at this anatomy of an affair. It starts out by saying, never happened to me. Then there's a spiritual dryness. Happens to all of us, spiritual dryness. You get in that, don't take care of that. It's a warning sign, don't take care of it. Next warning sign, disconnection at home. Don't take care of it. Then that leads to an opportunity of a quote-unquote innocent, intimate conversation. Continue down that path. Then there's emotional connection. And then it ends in the affair. It ends in that dangerous meeting.
Yeah.
And that dangerous meeting turns into the affair.
You know, you've got to protect yourself. You should not be alone with another woman, even if there isn't anything going on. The word tells us to avoid the appearance of evil. Well, if you're in what appears to be an intimate setting, it now appears to be something's going on there. And so to put yourself alone with another woman is very, very dangerous. I don't care what you have to do for business. You do not go out to dinner with a woman who is an employee or a coworker or a client. You put yourself in a very, very vulnerable and a very, very dangerous situation.
So we have some guidelines here at the church that some guys have adopted for business. When we counsel a woman, it's usually one time, because we have others on our staff who can do that, women who can do that. The door's open or the blinds are up, and there's going to be someone else in the building right by the door. If we are going to have a meeting where a woman is there, we will never travel alone.
Good move.
And so we've had many times where you're meeting someone else. You could travel here from the church together to the restaurant, but we drive separate cars. It's not only the temptation, but also the appearance of evil.
On the road, I have roommates. People look at us like we're crazy. When Craig Wolfley and I room together, we do the games on radio. We're the part of the student broadcast team. And so every away trip, we room together. And people go, why do you guys do that? Because we are protecting ourselves. We are protecting us from any temptation. Any place that I know that there could be potential danger, I need to keep myself from those places.
Mm-hmm. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, sexual immorality, temptation.
Run.
Flee.
Run fast.
Sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside his body, but whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is living in you, whom you have received from God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
That's easy to gloss over, but think about that. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. And the price was unbelievably huge. It was the death of God himself. So we can't enter in that lightly. You know, going back to when we talked about David, against you and you alone have I sinned. We have to also keep it in perspective. Not only do we blow up a family if we go into this, but we are sinning against God who bought us with his blood.
Bought with the price. Joseph is a great example, isn't he? He was right there with Potiphar's wife. Scripture says she caught him by the cloak and said, come to bed with me. And he left his cloak in her hand and he ran out of the house.
Way to be you.
Way to be Joseph.
Yeah. When I read that, wow, I'm just amazed at Joseph's discipline and his desire for God. And really in his respect for Potiphar. Because remember earlier when she approaches him, he said, he has entrusted me with all his belongings except you. I wouldn't do that to him. You know, we tend to forget that we're wrong in somebody else too. There's another guy somewhere out there. There's a Uriah out there that we have wronged.
So here's Joseph, young guy. How heady is that? You know, Potiphar's wife, I am assuming she was a beautiful woman. She says, come to bed with me. And he leaves his cloak and he runs out of the house. Flee immorality. So, Tunch, what we want to drive home today is don't ignore the warning signs. Sin has consequences. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, Hebrews 4:13 says, and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So if no one else ever knows about it,
right,
God does.
Yeah, we tend to want to compartmentalize even our sin, guys do. Well, if I do this, this is who it can affect, but she will never find out, and I can get away with this. Well, no, we don't get away with it. God sees. Be sure your sin will find you out.
Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all, the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer. I put this in every marriage ceremony.
Yes.
And the sexually immoral. Yeah. Marriage bed must be kept pure.
Yeah, there is a definite price for that sin.
Proverbs says, why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. The evil deeds of wicked men ensnare him. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. So the discerning man determines how to stay away from temptation and not get caught in the cords of his own sin that are going to hold him fast.
And please stay with us. Ron and Tunch return in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Now here are Ron and Tunch with a look at our next time together.
We want to plead with any man out there listening, any woman out there listening. If you are involved in an affair, you've got to get out of it. And so we want to talk about how you can do that.
We hope you can join us for that discussion next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.